I Got Issues podcast is sponsored by Trevor Maynard of Investors Group. Find out how you can get your taxes done for free this tax year. You can contact him at his office at 416-491-7400 or via email at trevor.maynard@investorsgroup.com.
Yeah, yeah, Yes.
Welcome to another podcast. I Got Issues.
Yep.
With your hosts, Jason Maynard and
James Wright.
Well, James, what up, son?
Ha! Nothing much as usual.
Yeah, buddy.
Yep.
Another podcast. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
We got a guest in the building today. Mr. Trevor Maynard, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
What up, son?
That's hilarious.
So we got a show. It's gonna be about how to get your money right.
Yeah.
Everybody's good. So we got a recession going on. People are broke. People got questions. They think they're invested money, but they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Nope.
And so we brought in the dude to save the day. It's going to take your money to the next level. It's going to make you rich.
Whoa, I don't know about those claims.
Well, but listen.
I keep people from being poor. Don't make them rich.
Yet. That's a terrible sales job. This is what people see on TV. They want to be rich. They want to be balling.
Make the big dollars.
Girls want a Gucci bag. They want a Louis Vuitton purse. And this shit costs money.
And if having a Gucci purse makes you rich, then wow, then we have a lot more problems than I currently think we have.
It doesn't make you rich, but people like to have this rich image. So when you're trying to sell people the dream, you got to tell them, listen, I'll make you rich, sucker.
That's not what a good financial planner does. They don't sell dreams. They don't sell false dreams. They give you the reality and make sure that you can achieve your goals. If your goal is to have a Louis Vuitton bag, a 4K bag, then guess what? That's what we'll strive for, and you'll get it. But if that's all that you want, then wow.
Listen, why don't you tell people you got an education or something? You qualified to be given this type of advice?
Of course. I got my degree in the joint.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
No, I got 2 degrees. I got a BA in political science and economics from wonderful York University. And then I went back and I got my BCom in finance with a minor in accounting from Ryerson.
That's crazy.
And along the way, I went to college as well for a year and got a certificate in financial planning.
Unbelievable.
And today you are a... Where do you work? What do you do for people?
Oh, what do I do? I do a whole lot for people. Mostly, I help people understand their goals. I help them to realize they have a goal of home ownership, for instance. To buy a home takes money. You need to have a down payment. Most people don't know what you need for a down payment. So this is where I come in and say, listen, what's your time frame? When do you want to move to your house? And we build a plan that'll get you to where you want to be when you want to get there.
Interesting. Fucking interesting. This is going to be a really interesting show today.
No, it is. It's going to be really
I have a whole bunch of questions from a whole bunch of different people. But first, I want to. You can actually get people from being a broke ass to saving up some money so that they can buy their first condo.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could do that. So I got like $25 in my bank account. We can make that shit grow.
Well, it can grow, but if all you have is $25, then you're going to be broke forever. There's nothing no one can do for somebody with $25.
We can't double that over years and years and years and turn that 25 into like 25 G's.
That sounds like gambling to me.
It could happen, but the only real investment that can do that is by trading options. And most people have no idea what trading options are.
I don't know anything about options.
Neither do most of the people who trade them.
I know I got a lot of them, though. Ayo!
Oh, my God. All right.
All right, so we got a couple questions. We might as well knock some of these things off. I think you saw on your Facebook, you got some people asking you some questions. So what were some of the questions that Brandon wanted to ask you a question?
Yeah, the question was, what's better to save money, tax-free savings account or GICs?
And the answer is, do you need a drum roll?
I think I'm good without the drum roll, okay. But that question doesn't really make sense. That question shows me that most Canadians are not financially literate.
Wow. By one person asking one question, now all Canadians are knuckleheads?
Most Canadians are.
Shit. I have to agree with that. I think they are knuckleheads.
It's a tax-free savings account is an account structure. It holds different investments. A GIC itself is an investment. So what is the better way to save? A tax-free savings account saves you taxes. A GIC will pretty much guarantee to lose you money.
Why is a GIC guarantee you to lose money?
Well, because even the best GICs, and a GIC is a guaranteed investment certificate, is paying, 1.5%, 2%. But inflation rate is 3%. So your money is growing at 2%. Everything else is costing you 3%. What's happening to your money? Shrinking in your pocket.
Hold on, 1%. Let me do the math. So inflation is at 3%. Okay, 3%. Help me out here. You're the money guy. You're the numbers dude. 3% the world is growing at, and my money is growing at 2%. Okay, so carry the one, subtract the two. I'm losing 100%.
You're not losing 100%. You're losing 1%.
You're losing 1%.
Here's a good way to think about it. When you were 10 years old and you were given $100.
Yes, sir.
How many loaves of bread could you buy for $100?
100.
Okay. How many loaves of bread can you buy today?
45.
Okay. So over the span of 20 years, you still have the same dollar amount in your hand, $100. But what you can get for that $100 is decreasing rapidly.
Ah, now this is making so much more. Why don't you talk to us like this? This is a language that people know. The reason why people aren't financially literate and financially smart, they'd have a low financial IQ, is because you guys talk on, you might as well be speaking in Chinese. No one understands Chinese.
Well, yeah, I could speak in a whole bunch of jargon that, people with BCOMs will understand, but that's not the average person out there. So it does me no good to speak to people in terms they're not going to understand.
I want to be spoken to in a loaf of bread type of manner.
All right, I'll talk to you like an 8-year-old.
Perfect. You want to know what? That's where my financial IQ is. I got an 8-year-old financial IQ. That makes sense to me. When you tell me inflation, I get that. But listen, a lot of my listeners, I don't want to break the news to you, but they're not that smart. All right? So we got to dumb it down for them. It's not really for me. It's for them.
All right. I can do that.
We got to help these guys out. So did you answer Brandon's question? What should he invest his money? What's better, a tax-free savings account or a GIC?
So to answer the question, it's really, I would say that GICs are a terrible use of your money. Especially depending on your time horizon, of course. If you're looking to buy your house in the next 6 months, then yeah, absolutely, because you don't want to lose your money.
Yeah.
But tax-free savings account is an account structure.
GIC, what does that stand for?
Guaranteed Investment Certificate.
Just checking. And so that means that your money is 100% guaranteed.
It's essentially yes.
And that's probably what makes a lot of people want to get into it, because they're like, oh, my money's safe. I'm not going to lose anything. But you're not going to gain anything.
Oh, yeah. There's a cost to safety. And there's an extreme cost, because you don't realize that you're losing money every year, because I guarantee that 80% of the people with GICs don't realize that they're not growing as fast as inflation is, because nobody's telling them.
No one. It's true. Yeah.
Well, where are we supposed to learn this stuff? Well, where am I supposed to pick this up? Oh. Wall Street Journal? Oh, I'm not reading that.
Well, I don't read that either, because it's not applicable to Canadians. But... Oh. you need to, there's too much information out there. That's part of the problem too, is that people are over, they want to get an answer to something, they Google, and then too many options come up.
Yep, that's what happened to me.
So you're stuck trying to figure out which information actually makes sense and which should I ignore, and you don't know what you're doing. So you just either do nothing or you just do what's easy.
Or get into something that's just horrible.
You do-it-yourselfers do a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, people with advisors also make mistakes. But, you know, having an advisor will help you prevent you from making that catastrophic mistake, like taking money out of your RSP to pay down debt.
Who would do something like that?
I don't know. I got somebody who told me that online a couple of days back, if that was a good idea.
Horrible idea.
And why is that such a bad idea?
Well, because now you're going to be paying taxes when you take money out of your RRSP.
Speaking of the mic.
For everyone who's in Canada, you take money out of your RSP, it increases your taxable income. So now you're paying more taxes to save a little money off of your debts when you could have just got a personal loan at a lower interest rate than your credit cards would have been.
What happens if they got black people credit? What happens if your credit is fucked? What happens if you can't get the loan and you're like, shit, I got no other ways. I'm going to have to dip into these RSPs.
It'd probably still work out better for you in the long run if you left your RSPs alone, stopped putting money into it, and just started paying off your debts.
Like, I looked at my credit card bill came in the other day, and it's like, if you continue to make your minimum payment, like, I don't know if they just recently put this on, because it's the first time that I ever saw it. It's like, if you make your minimum payment, your entire bill will be paid off in like 77 years.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Maybe it's like 35. It's like some ridiculous amount of time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit.
You got to start making more than a minimum payment.
Well, I don't really have a credit card. Like, that's even the thing. The minimum payment's like
nothing.
$10.
Yeah.
And still, I guess if you pay your minimum payment, it's never going to be paid off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have barely a balance on my credit cards right now. It's just fucked. Fucking world. Here's my next question. This is a very important question because this is how I determine whether people are smart or stupid. Or crazy or not crazy. Do you believe in dinosaurs? Answer the question. Don't be shy. This carries a lot of weight. A lot of people are going to tune you out right now if you give the wrong answer. Of course.
The religious are going to say, if I say yes to dinosaurs, then, oh, dinosaurs didn't exist. The devil put those there to trick humans. But I took an evolution course in which we learned all about the dinosaurs and the fossils. So, yes, I believe in dinosaurs.
All right, you're not crazy. Good I'm answer. Asking every single person that comes on here from now on. That's my starting question.
That is a good question to ask.
I need to know what kind of psychos are in this place. Because
why would someone not believe that there weren't dinosaurs? There's bones. Like, that's fossil fuel.
The
like,
world started a couple thousand years ago with Adam and Eve, son. There was no dinosaurs.
I knew a girl who was ultra-religious, and she said that dinosaurs didn't exist because the devil put the bones to trick humans into thinking that they existed.
What?
People are crazy. <That's so weird. laughs> People are losing their minds. Listen, they got no money. They're losing their minds. How do you feel speaking of religion? I know this girl I work with. No, she ain't got she's living like a paycheck to paycheck blue collar worker, right?
That's sad.
She's super religious. This bitch is crazy. But she gives, she tithes every week.
Weird. I was just talking about that.
She gives
holy cow.
10% or more to her church every single Sunday or Saturday because she's Seventh-day Adventist. She's crazy. Now, is this a good idea? Because she doesn't have a backup plan. She's going to lose her job one day.
She has no savings.
Well, it's not like she doesn't have savings, but like, she doesn't make all that much money to begin with, but she doesn't have any money. It's like one of these situations where it's like, hey, do you guys want to go for lunch on Friday? Oh, no, we have to wait until next Friday because it's pay Friday. And it's like, oh, shit. Well, that's not a good sign.
No. What is she spending her money on, though?
Just her living. Just to live. Anyways, she doesn't make that much money, but she still has enough money to give to the church. I tried telling her that she needs to stop that nonsense because when she loses her job and she's down and out, is the church going to fucking give her money back?
Well, the church might help her out with some things.
Yeah. They're not helping her with shit.
I'm going to tell you to get out there and don't come into this building unless you got some money. These churches are corrupt. Now, do you believe in tithing? Do you think that people should do that? Because there's good things about it and there's bad things about it. This is what I want to know.
Huh. That's a good question.
Well, I donate to charities.
If you're a broke ass.
When I was a student, I was donating to charities, and I wasn't making all that much money. I was working part-time in a restaurant.
Sure. I'm not saying that there's stuff wrong with it. But at the same time, you were donating to charities. Were you putting money aside for yourself, or did you say fuck that?
Well, of course I was putting money away for myself. But
so what do you do when you're donating to fucking charities? You're giving money to churches, but you're not putting anything aside for yourself. Is that clearly a messed up thing to do?
Well, no, because that's her belief. So her beliefs will carry her through. So you can't knock somebody for spending money on what they value.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like someone spending money on a car. They believe in this car will take them places and maybe pick up girls. Who knows?
That's ridiculous. it's perfectly okay to get a car if you're putting money away for yourself. When you don't have fucking savings, you don't have no savings, you got no money, and you go out and you buy a car.
Yeah.
That's fucking a terrible idea.
Horrible idea.
But if you buy a car and you still put money away, then you're doing okay.
Yeah.
So if you're giving money to fucking sick kids hospital every single week,
yeah,
but you don't have a pot to piss in, is that a good idea? Or should you take your $30 and put it into your own savings? What should you do? What's the right answer? Where do I go?
Hurry up. That's a hard thing to answer.
Come on, BCom.
there's no right or wrong answer to that.
Well, I think there's a right and a wrong
answer. Well, your answer is stop giving money away and keep it for yourself.
That's right.
But that's because you're not the person doing it. For her, she's thinking putting money to the church is a worthy cause. And she can get by on 90% of her money, so she should give away the other 10 to the church to help out the less fortunate.
There you go.
She ain't getting by on 90%.
You think that 10% will make a difference in her life?
Listen, buddy. It will make a difference. A small difference. Do you put away 10% of your money? Yes. Do you save 10% of your income?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
I do, yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
So do I. Well, what do you want from me? Well, anyways, I think it's... I'll start giving advice.
All right.
Listen, I'm the new financial advisor on here. Stop donating your money if you're broke. Put that money in your tax-free savings account. All right. There you go.
You know what would be a good option? If someone saved up their money for the entire year and from their savings, they took 10% and gave it away to a church or something. That'd be a good option.
You could do that. Why couldn't you do that?
Yeah.
People don't do that, though. You need your money to come in and go away, not let you see it.
Yeah.
When you see your money, that's when it's gone. It burns a hole in your pocket.
Is that what you should be doing? Should you be paying yourself first before
What's
you...
the best way to start saving some money, Trevor? Come on, help us out here.
What is the best way
to I know to you don't saving? Want to give away too much advice because then nobody's going to come and see you, giving all your way your advice for free. But you got to help some people out. Come on, Ed. You got to do the right thing.
Oh, the best thing to do is you have to get started. Even if that means that you can only do 10 bucks a week or 30 bucks every 2 weeks, the key is getting started. And once you get started, you realize that it's not that difficult. And then you can build on that as opposed to saying, well, I can't afford to save 100 bucks, so I might as well not save any, because that's what a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So your key is just getting started, whether that's putting money into your checking account or your savings account and losing you money every day without you noticing it. But the key is getting started and then working on becoming more efficient later. It's like if you're out of shape, the key is going to the gym. Whether or not you're doing the exercises 100% correctly, you're way ahead by going to the gym and doing something than doing nothing.
Ah, that makes more sense to me.
You're good at what you do, I have to say. You are really good. Like, you put things in like perspective. I'm definitely going to invest my money with you, I got to say.
This is getting crazy. I already invest my money with him.
And you're going on how many trips?
I'm going on my trips.
Well, there you go.
Took the summer off. Went on a trip. Going to Jamaica. Going to Australia next month in April. It's going crazy. To fucking Brazil, Argentina, Peru in the summertime.
What?
People, step your money game up, kids. Listen, you want all? It's not that hard. You speak with Trevor. He sits you down. You develop a fucking plan. You put your money aside, and bada bing, bada boom. Next thing you know, you're a jet setter.
There you go.
Get that passport stamped up. Mad stamps on my passport. Got to get a new book almost.
You can just get one of those 48-page books.
Come on, people. Don't. People are there hating on me. I go to work, people hate on me because I'm going to Jamaica next week. They're like, whoa, where you get money to go? What do you mean, where do I get money? We work at the same fucking job, you moron. Step your money game up. It's not even that difficult. Like, obviously, everybody has different life situations.
Yeah, and so, different life circumstances. And
so, spend their money clearly on silly things. Everybody's expenses are different, but even if my expenses weren't that different, I would still, there's still a way to not be a miserable fuck and be jealous of everybody because they have something that you don't. You figure out a way to get it done. Come on, kids.
Save your money. So for someone who goes on like lots of trips and stuff, like what is like a good way to save? Like for instance, like RSPs, probably not the greatest idea because you get taxed on it. So like what are the other options are there? Like for saving your money, if you want to like save money for a trip and then pull it out, not worry about being taxed on it and all that sort of thing.
Well, yeah, you really have two choices. You have a tax-free savings account, which basically you pay no taxes on any of the income that's generated by your money, mm-hmm. or you can go non-registered. Non-registered is everything other than a registered account, so an RSP, TFSA. So your bank account, for instance, is non-registered.
Yeah.
So every time that your bank gives you that nickel in interest, you're supposed to be paying taxes on that as if it's income.
Got it.
So a good rule to have would be to keep emergency money around. Mm-hmm. So throw that in the bank.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of people make the mistakes of using their tax-free savings account as if it's a bank account. They put money in, they take it out. But what's going to happen is when you're 60 and you want to start retiring, or 65, and the roof on your house breaks down, it's going to cost you $25,000 to fix your roof. Mm-hmm. So where are you going to get that money from?
Gonna pull it out of your RSPs, kid.
Sure. So if you're pulling money out of your RSP, how much do you need to get $25,000 out?
How much do you need?
Yeah.
If you need $25,000 for the roof?
Yeah.
And you have no money?
You're taking out of your RSP.
Hold on one second. Let me think. Let me do the math here. All right. My roof costs $25,000 to fix. I got nothing. I think that's gonna cost me about $50,000.
That's about like 43-ish.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because you have to pay tax on that money.
That's insane.
So if you're getting like a small pension, or if you have small other income, if you're working part-time at Walmart, and you're making, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 between your Walmart job and your pension, then yeah, you're gonna be in like a 30% tax bracket. So, is that the end of the bad news? Of course not. The following year, because the government's now going to say, whoa, you made $85,000 last year. That's too much money. So we're going to claw back your old age security. So you get hit twice.
Jeez.
But if you need to get the money out of your tax-free savings account, you take $25 out, you get $25 in hand, and you're done. You fix your roof, and there's no other implications to you.
See why we had to have you on here?
Yeah, I'm serious. This is great. These
old people out there getting ready to fix their roofs.
Using their RSPs.
Are using their RSPs. Lots of people use their RSPs.
Well, up until 4 years ago, that was your only choice. An RSP or non-registered. So even if I was making $20,000, it was better to put money in your RSP because you're going to get a little bit of tax savings versus just throwing it into your bank account.
Now, can you explain to some people what the tax-free savings account is? Like, exactly what it is. There's people that don't even... they've never even heard of a tax-free savings account.
Okay. So if you live in Canada and you're over 18, you can have a tax-free savings account. It's essentially a structured account that shelters you from all forms of taxation on your money.
Let's do a bread talk.
Bread, huh? Okay. How about we think about this as a cup?
Okay.
So if you have a cup, what kind of liquids can you put in a cup?
I can put in
beer. I can put in vodka. I can put in tequila. I can put in Zambuca. I can put in Patrol. I can put in rum. I can put in spice rum. I can put in dark rum. I can put in, I can put in all kinds of rums. All
right. So you can put in any type of liquid that you want.
That's right.
So a tax-free savings account holds investments. So it can hold cash. That's what most people are putting their tax-free savings accounts in. You go to ING, what do they advertise? 2% on your cash. You're getting a GIC, essentially. It can hold mutual funds. It can hold stocks. It can hold bonds. It can hold ETFs. It holds different investments. So a tax-free savings account can be as aggressive or as conservative as you want it to be.
But most people, like for the regular Joes out there, they only use it to hold their cash investments.
Yeah. So if you had $10,000 in your tax-free savings account.
Let's say I have $10,000 in my bank account right now.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, I got to, I want to put it into my tax-free savings account.
Yep.
Can I put all $10,000 in my tax-free savings account?
You? Yes. Because you're over 23. If you're under 23, then you only have 15 or 10 or 5, depending on how old you are.
Oh, I get it.
So you get $5,000 a year.
Who says I'm older 20 over 23, by the way?
Well, I'm just speculating. I was in post-secondary for 9 years, and you're my brother, so you're my older brother, so I just...
Nobody knows how old I am. We'll just leave it at that. James, edit this shit out.
So, okay, so if you have $10,000 in your tax-free savings account and it's sitting in cash earning you 1%, how much interest are you getting?
1%. $10,000. Okay, James, help me out here.
Whoa.
I've got $10,000 in cash, and I'm going to earn a 1%. Now, if I multiply that by 5, that would mean I have $1,000.
Are you serious?
Clearly, I'm not.
Oh, thank God.
So you have $100. So if you have $100... and you're earning $30,000.
Yeah.
Let's say you're earning $60,000. So you're in a 31% tax bracket. You're saving yourself $31 in taxes by having your money in cash every year. Does that seem like a good use?
No. No. What's $31?
Because that's what you would have to pay on your $100 if you would have left it in your bank account, or if you're leaving it in a bank account in a tax-free savings account.
I paid $31 for parking today. I don't care about $31.
Well, that's the way a lot of people are using their tax-free savings account. They're sheltering peanuts when in the future they're going to be paying a lot more in taxes by getting money out of their RSP because their tax-free savings accounts are going to be empty.
Is this what you explain to your clients?
Well, absolutely.
And do they understand by the end of the day?
We talk about a lot of things.
Like, do you teach them shit? Like, do they walk away and be like, oh, wow, I just, like, took an economics course. Like, now I understand shit.
They learn a lot. Some of the people that I meet with have a pretty limited background. So a lot of what I say is new. So they don't get all of it. But after 2 or 3 or 4 meetings and having the repetition, then they start to understand it.
James, you got some questions? You guys were having a whole fucking discussion before. Just talk yourselves out.
So like, why do people use RRSPs? So, like, I understand, like, because with an RRSP, like, you're putting your money inside of here, but then when you take the money out, you're being taxed on that money. So why, like, I understand the whole thing with TFSAs and whatever else, but, like, why put your money into RRSPs? Like, why not just put it into savings? Like, just why not? Because you're getting taxed on the money that you've been saving. I just don't get it.
Okay.
It grows faster.
Does it?
It doesn't grow any faster.
It doesn't grow faster, but you earn more money. You earn more interest.
Do you? See, this is the thing where I'm confused with RSPs. Like, RSPs, like, they're always like, put your money in RSPs, put your money in RSPs. But then when you take your money that you've been saving out of it, you're getting taxed on it. It's like, why am I being taxed on my savings? It's so strange.
Okay, so let's look at it this way. You earn $40,000 at your job. You put $1,000 into your RSP.
Yeah.
The government's going to say, all right, James, you didn't make $40,000 this year. You only made $39,000. So we're going to tax you based on $39,000. So most likely you're going to get a tax refund. That $1,000 is then going to grow over the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
and then you're going to take your money out when you're retired.
Yep.
Then you pay taxes 40 years down the road.
Got it.
So it gets added to your income. So when you're, you know, you're balling, you're working hard, you're an executive, you're making 200K, saving, you know, 46% is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then when you're in retirement, chances are you're going to be earning less, so you're going to be in a lower tax rate, and so you're going to make even more money because there's going to be a tax rate differential.
Do you need that in bread and milk terms?
Maybe.
All right, let's bring this down on another level.
For our listeners.
The reason to put money to an RRSP is you get immediate tax savings today.
Got it.
So by saving on taxes today, you're freed up to pay down your debts. You're freed up to invest more money. So then when you actually think, okay, what is my retirement going to look like? Yeah, if all you have is an RRSP, that's your sole retirement fund.
Yeah.
So that now becomes your taxable income.
Got it.
So they give you the break at the beginning to tax you later.
Got it.
That was just for our listeners, obviously. I hope they understood that.
No, I told that. It's very clear, I think.
The real problem is that nobody sits down and explains people these things.
No, it's true. No one does.
So I understand about finance and accounting because, you know, that's what I spent 4 years learning. Mm-hmm. But I saw a commercial today for H&R Block to do your taxes.
Okay.
Simple tax return.
Yeah.
If the government of Canada wants everyone to do a tax return, start teaching 15-year-olds how to do a basic tax return in high school. You know, something simple. You have a job, you're working at a gas station, you have one T4, this is how you do it. Why should they be forced to pay $60 to do a simple tax return? Outrageous.
And they're learning math in school and everything, just add it on there.
Outrageous.
They're not learning math that good, trust me.
So it's a lot of the government's fault for not ensuring that, you know, this is learned. But then there's an incentive for, you know, businesses to not have people learn this so they can continue to make money off of them.
Yep, the corporations.
Like if everybody was as smart as you, then you would be out of a job. You ever think about that? You want the people to be down too.
No, I have clients who have their BCOMs and they have jobs. They don't have time to sit around and think about tax implications of what they do. They don't want to think about that. When they go home at the end of a hard day of work, they want to relax.
Those guys don't have a hard day. What are they, digging ditches? You got a ditch digger as a client?
Well, hey, people consider whatever they do at work to be a hard day of work, whether it's standing around making donuts or sitting in an office.
I never worked a hard day in my entire life.
All right, well, you're the one in the million, I guess. You're a
fortunate few, yeah.
Holy shit. No wonder why everyone's on drugs. They got to cope.
I'm telling you, people have to cope.
Tough day at the job. Got to cope.
People have to cope.
Smoke some dope.
I have another question here from one of our listeners who's a student. Did we already ask this question about saving or paying off debt first? Have we talked about that in this podcast?
Nope. No. Not.
So yeah, there's a student. One of my friends is a student and they're wondering, is it better to save your money after school or is it best to pay off that debt? I mean, I guess there's like different like percentages of how much your debt is and whatnot, but like, what is usually the best thing to do?
So if the only debt that you have is OSAP, which is a student loan, then the interest that you pay on that is tax deductible. So you can write that off based on your income. So that's not that big of a deal. If you, on the other hand, have credit card debt, then 100% pay your credit card down before you start saving. But if it then becomes a point where you're gonna reach a point when you should be doing both. Because most people, so I'm going to give you a simple example of if you had, let's say, $2,000 of credit card debt. Now, what most people do is they'll say, okay, I can afford to do $500 to pay down my debt. Mm-hmm. So they'll put $500 on their credit card. 2 months will go down, credit card will be at $1,000. Then they're going to look and be like, oh, sweet, I can go shopping again. So then they go and they spend another $500 and that credit card never gets paid off.
Yeah.
So if you would have taken $400 and put that toward your debt, $100 towards savings, then at least, you know, 2 months down the road, you have some sort of savings, even though your debt's not going down.
That makes total sense. That's actually pretty awesome. I like that. That's good.
So I think, did you answer the question? So I guess pay
You didn't answer the question.
If the debt is just OSAP, then I would say don't be so aggressive to pay it down and worry about it. Build your savings while you're paying it down. But if it's credit card debt, then absolutely credit card debt paid first. There's no investment out there that'll make you 20% a year.
What if you got Bernie Madoff working the case?
Then you've lost probably 90% of your money. unless you got out early.
And I guess like more to that too. So say you're paying off your debts. Like how is it best? Like say if I have $2,000 on one credit card with 20% interest, and if I have another credit card with $5,000, but it only has like 10% interest. Is there a better way to pay off whichever? Do I pay off the one with the more money, or do I pay off the one with the higher interest rate?
You always want to go with the higher interest rate first. Now, some people will say you'll gain momentum by paying off the lowest balance first, mm-hmm. Regardless of the interest rate, because then it's gone, and you'll be satisfied that you have one creditor gone.
Yeah.
So you always want to pay off the highest interest rate first. But there's another thing you could do. Take out a bank loan to consolidate that debt. You'll pay, 6%, 7%, but it sure beats paying 10 or 20%.
Some people don't want to consolidate the debt because they make you cancel your credit cards, and then they won't be able to get credit cards again. And they get scared of that.
Really? That happened? Seriously?
I think so. Somebody told me about that.
That doesn't always necessarily have to happen. But getting a credit card is dirt easy anyways. Just because you can be bankrupt and still have credit cards. So there's no real barrier to getting credit, especially in Ontario. It's terrible how they'll lend money to anybody.
Really? I need to get myself a credit card. Damn.
And I guess like to add on to that, now what about like credit card score ratings? Like, is that really important? I have no idea what my credit rating is. I'm just hoping it's good.
Okay, well, your credit score is made up of five different components. I don't have that all with me off the top of my head, but it's essentially your capacity to repay the loan. So, do you have a job?
Yeah.
Your credit worthiness. Have you made your payments in the past?
Mm-hmm.
Your character.
Mm-hmm.
Your collateral can be looked at. So, if you have a lot of assets, then companies will be more willing to lend you money because they know that if you don't pay us, we can take something from you.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's a fifth.
4 to 5 is not bad at all.
But your credit score is as long as you're making your payments on time and not missing payments, then in general your credit should be fine.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to get into trouble is when you start using more than 30% of your available credit. So you have a balance, you have a credit card that has a limit of 1,000.
Okay.
You shouldn't spend more than 300 on it. Because then the credit cards are going to be like, whoa, he's probably going to get up to where he can't afford to pay us back.
Interesting. Yeah.
So then your number starts to go down.
Yeah.
So just for people who don't know, credit card score, the higher your score is, the better?
Well,
according to Equifax, you got a 700, son. You're in the white zone. That's a good place to be.
Do you know like the different zones and different ratings or like numbers? Like if you have like 100, is that good? Is that bad?
If you have 100, kill yourself.
Like what do you start?
You can't
like
be rolling around with 100. You know what you have to do to get to 100?
Well, even I don't know,
like the most delinquent jackasses with R9s all over their Equifax report is still be at 500.
But what's the, like, what is it? Like 1,000 is like the highest? 100 is the lowest? Like, do you know?
No,
like,
idea.
I think anything over like, I think 720 is like.
You're good?
You can basically get anything.
Okay. Just for people. I know there's lots of people out there who have like credit cards.
And if you want to get your Equifax report, you can go to the Equifax building and pick it up for free.
Oh, seriously?
Or you can mail it in and get it for free.
Or you can get the form and mail it. They'll mail you one back for free. All you have to do, but if you want to go there, it's just up Young and Finch. You can just go there. You bring a piece of ID, something with your mail address on it.
Yeah.
And they'll print it out and hand it to you for free. And it doesn't affect your credit score at all.
The thing I was going to say.
You check it every single day at Equifax.
And they don't. Doesn't affect your score.
No. Only when a creditor checks your credit.
That's the time. Got it.
I know all about this shit.
Come on. Someone's checking their score, right?
I used to go and check my score once a month.
Seriously?
It's good to do that about every twice a year, just to make sure that which on your credit report is actually you.
Yeah, I gotta check my credit report because I have no idea.
Come on, James, you gotta check that out, kid.
I don't have that much debt though, so.
Yeah, but you never know. Somebody else could be rolling around as James Ray.
Actually, my card was compromised last month by someone in
Madrid.
Yeah, I'm in Madrid. Yeah, they spent like $150.
See? You better go check that out. They might have all kinds of shit in your name.
Well, the key is that you want to make sure that there's no other credit cards that were opened with your name on it that are getting mailed to somewhere else.
That's very true.
Because then you'll never even know until somebody starts saying, James, you owe us $20,000 on this Visa card that you've never seen before.
I got to go to Equifax probably tomorrow and check this out.
Okay, they're not open on Saturday, kid. Come on, man. You're going to have to wait for 2 weeks.
Oh, man, this sucks. Another question. Do you have a question?
Go ahead.
What is a good rate for a mortgage?
There you go.
Oh, right now rates are extremely low. You can get a mortgage at under 3% for a variable. I think that we're offering 2.89% right now on a 4-year term.
Is that what you're offering?
To
where you work?
Yeah, of course. But at the same time, it's like when, who was it? BMO came out with their 2.99% a little under a month ago, and like the whole world like took notice. But then there's restrictions on that. You can't transfer, you can't make prepayments, you can't do this, you can't do that. Hmm. So the best mortgage is the one that gives you the best language in the contract. So is that mortgage portable? If they sell their house, are they going to have to pay penalties? Most likely. Huh. Our mortgages are portable. So you sell your house, you can take it with you. Or if you sell your house and you move out of the country, you can sell your mortgage to the next person. They'll be like, oh, wow, 2.89%.
That's awesome.
We'll take that. Hmm. But then you always have to look at what do you qualify for? So just because we're offering 2.89, if you're credit risk, then they're not going to give you the best rate.
I have a question about this.
Oh,
and I've never understood the thinking. I kind of understand the thinking, but to me, it still seems very odd. Now, let's say you are a slacker in paying off your. Let's say I go out and I buy a car, right? And I get this car cost $5,000
to impress a girl,
and I buy this fucking wicked car, 1988 Honda Civic, got the rims, got the suede seats, subwoofers, got my Wu-Tang Clan pumping, booyaka. and I get this, but I got terrible credit. Now, why do they charge you more interest and make you pay way more for the card? Now, I got an interest that like 29% because my credit's so terrible. So now my car is going to cost me like $20,000 for me to buy this car over the next 10 years. Why do they do that when you're clearly not good at paying credit? So then they make you pay 10 times longer and they charge you 10 times more. Why don't they make it like, okay, listen, we're going to cut you a break. we're going to give you like a 0% interest. Just give us the fucking money and be done in 3 years. Does that make any sense or no?
Because they're taking a risk. When they see that you have previously not paid somebody, they're taking a risk to lend you money. So they need to make sure that they're going to be adequately compensated for taking that risk.
But the odds are against you, kid. I'm probably not going to pay you back.
Then they're going to...
Fucking credit's terrible.
Then I don't pay nobody back. Take the car back.
It says on my credit report, don't lend this dude money. He's then never paying
lend,
you back.
They shouldn't lend to you.
Okay. What if your credit score is so bad, like you can't even get a library card? Is that not a good sign?
That's a terrible sign.
Shit.
But they don't run credit checks to give you library cards.
You have 5 books overdue. We're like going to take your house.
A late fee at Jumbo Video for Sister Act for $124 bucks.
Yep. And what do you think people should do? Go to a mortgage broker or to a bank? That was another question that we got.
Okay, so when you go to a mortgage broker, the broker's job is to find you the best rate. So you can save yourself, you know, 0.1% or less by getting the best rate. But then it might be from a company you've never heard of before. They might have terrible customer service. You have problems. Then there might be bad language in the contract. You can't make prepayments. You can't double your payment. You can't make any changes. So it can be very restrictive. When you go to the bank, they'll probably give you a comparable rate, but they also will have some restrictions in their language, because what they want to do is they want to make sure that they're going to lock in the business. So they don't want you to be able to, so people get their mortgage, they want to sell their house. Well, now they're breaking their mortgage. So now they have to pay 3 months interest. Mm-hmm. So that can be pretty expensive.
Can be.
Crazy.
So you want to make sure that you're getting, you want to see who your options are, and you want to see the best language. So you want definitely to have a mortgage that's portable. You want to have one that's assumable, so that if you do move to the States because you get this wicked job, somebody can then take on your mortgage, so you're not breaking your contract.
That's awesome. I never knew. I haven't even thought of these things.
I know all about that kid. But when I bought my house, I bought it with a mortgage broker.
Yeah.
And he got me the fucking sickest rate.
Yeah, but how much did he save you based on what was going on the street?
He saved me like probably 0.2%.
Is that good?
That's fucking, I don't know if it's good. It's less than the lower the number, it sounds better to me.
Yeah.
But then there's usually restrictions.
I had a pretty good mortgage. It wasn't Scotiabank, but it was a company that uses Scotiabank. I can't even remember what it's called.
Why does Scotiabank have the best mortgages?
No, but it's like I've heard of Scotiabank, but I haven't heard of the lender that my mortgage is from. but they are an affiliate company of Scotiabank. I don't know. I didn't care.
It's called hey, over here. Yeah. Mortgage company.
Guess what? It worked out well for me. And what was another question that you had there?
Me?
Did you have another question?
I have tons of questions. I'm interested in knowing about money.
Well, rhyme them off. I'll knock them out.
Come on, quickly.
All right. Top three things to know when buying a new home / condo / whatever. What are like the some things?
First thing you need to understand is that what you qualify for and what you can afford are two different things. So when you buy a condo,
yeah,
to qualify for the mortgage, they're going to include 50% of the mortgage payment of the condo maintenance fees. But when you're living in the condo doesn't want 50%; they want 100%.
Yeah.
So based on that difference, you might not be actually able to afford what you qualified for. What else about buying a condo?
So why do they do that? Why only 50%? Is there like a reason behind it, or is it just
so they can lend you more money, sucka? The more money you borrow, the more interest you pay.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Well, it's just how the guidelines were set up.
Yeah.
The guidelines are there to screw you.
Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, they are.
Well, fine.
The last couple of years, we could get a 0% mortgage with cash. Like, they'll give you money when you buy a house. Well, what kind of nonsense is that?
And where was this?
Ajax.
Well, they
one of my cousins bought a house. 0% down with 5% cash back, son.
Seriously?
100% he did. I'll tell you his name off the air.
Well, they can't do that anymore.
I know they can't do it anymore, but they used to be able to do that before.
That's crazy.
Well, good. See, there's why regulation works sometimes.
Huh.
Stops us from falling into the States.
I would love to have that. Buy some furniture, house.
So a lot of people also don't consider the closing costs of buying a condo or buying a house. It's now you need to move. Did you leave enough money in your budget to pay for movers or to do it yourself, to buy that box of pizza? You also want to make sure you get a good mortgage. So getting the best rate doesn't always mean the best mortgage. You want to make sure you have the best rate and contract combined. That's how you optimize. That's pretty good place to start when you're dealing with mortgages.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. That is helpful information. Very helpful. Jay?
I don't have any other... Well, I think I've pretty much gone through all the questions. person wanted to know how they can research a company. They were given a stock tip on a company. They want to know how to research the company. That's and they also want to know if the stock market is dangerous or how dangerous is the stock market.
There's so many people at my, like, there's so many people that I know that just talk about, yo, James, man, there's this new hot stock, man. I'm telling you, you got to buy into it now. Buy into it now. These guys are mining some stuff and you just got to get into it. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, I'm going to put my money into this. I need to make some dough.
You know what you should have done? You should have painted the office at Facebook. You hear about that, dude?
No, okay. What happened?
He painted the offices at Facebook. They're like, we'll either pay you like a couple thousand bucks or you can take stock in the company.
Oh, man.
Now it went public. He's now worth $200 million.
That's crazy. Have they gone public now? Are they?
They filed the IPO.
And yeah. What did they come in at?
I don't think that's finalized yet.
Damn. Anyways.
So the question was to research companies. You can go to their public website. Every publicly traded company will most likely have a website.
Yeah, but what are they looking for?
Well, you're going to have to read the financial statements.
Oh, so they don't even, if they don't even understand what they're doing, what's the point of even doing the research? They're going to look at the financial reports and see ones and zeros.
Pretty much.
They're not going to understand that shit. So forget it. The guy who asked me that question, don't even fucking do it.
It sounds like he's gambling.
Just put your money in and pray to the Jesus that it works out for you. There you go. There's my advice.
And how risky is the stock market? Well, it can be extremely risky if you're looking at penny stocks, or it can be relatively conservative if you're looking at large cap stocks. Well, of course, nothing's guaranteed, but, you know, is Rogers Communications going to go out of business?
You never know, man.
Is the Royal Bank of Canada going to go out of business?
Fuck, you never know.
Whatever.
I open up an RBC account, I shut that shit down.
Seriously, quick. Why?
I don't like those guys. I never dealt with them.
Huh.
I opened up the account and I closed it quick. That's it. So you never know. Maybe a whole bunch of people be like me and say, listen, we're starting a revolution.
Maybe.
I doubt that.
How do you feel about starting your own bank? Can people do that, by the way?
Not in Canada.
Why not?
Yeah, we have private banking system. Schedule 1 bank. You can be a Schedule 2.
What does that mean?
Just basic different requirements for bank ownership. And so basically the big six are Schedule 1 banks. And like Caisse Populaires and credit unions are like Schedule 2. But if you want to start a bank, you're taking on a lot of risk.
Yeah.
I might start a bank. I'm thinking about it.
I don't even know how you'd go about doing that. You'd probably want to see a lawyer before you.
You're not going to start a bank. What are you talking about?
Starting a bank is simple. You open up the doors. People walk in. You got a couple teller. You have all these wickets with no teller, with one teller. This is how you start it off. You have like 10 wickets. They all say go to the next window. And you have one person working. You get a giant lineup. And this is how you start a bank. You have some people deposit money. Then some next person comes in. I want to take out some money. You give that person's money. Bada bing, bada boom. Banking here. That's banking.
That sounds like extortion or something.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
The bank has the power to create money out of thin air.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Ones and zeros in a computer, buddy. That's it. Money doesn't really exist, does it? There's not. If everybody in the world right now, like if everybody in Canada wanted to pull out all of their money out of their bank,
there's not enough money for it.
Is there enough dollar bills?
No.
So that means money doesn't even exist.
Crazy to even think about that.
Money doesn't exist. I told you guys this.
Here's how it works. You go to the bank, you have $100.
Yeah.
You deposit your $100 in the bank.
Yeah.
The bank's only required to have a minimum reserve rate. I think it's like 9% or 10%. So we'll say 10%. So they only need to keep $10 on hand. So they're going to then take your $90 that you put in the bank, and they're going to lend it out to somebody else. Somebody's going to borrow $90. They might throw $50 in the bank. They only need to keep $5. So they can lend another $45 out.
That's crazy.
So at the end of the day, your $100 that you put in will be lent out and will total $1,000.
Unbelievable.
For the bank.
Oh, yeah.
This is why I want to start my own bank. You hear that?
Yeah,
that
sounds crazy.
And the way that the banks make money is you go in, you deposit your money. What are they paying you on your deposit? 1%, 2%. They're lending the money out to somebody else.
Yeah.
Who they're going to charge 7%.
Yeah.
They're going to give you your $2 on the 100 and say thank you.
Yeah.
And they're going to collect 7. So they're making $5 off of your $100 and you're
this
making
is ridiculous.
Two.
Ridiculous. What am I doing with my life?
Starting a bank.
Start the bank.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
That would be so sick if I had my own bank, get a vault and stuff. So dope.
Oh, that's hilarious. I was going to say, back to TFSAs. Now, with TFSAs, you can invest in stocks, can you?
Absolutely.
So then, for instance, if someone has invested into ING TFSAs.
Yep. They're probably getting about 2%
on their money. Like, so how does someone go about like getting a TFSA and then investing their money in certain stocks? Like, say if they want to buy like Apple stocks or buy Facebook stocks or whatever, like, is that something simple to do?
Yeah, it's extremely simple. You can basically...
You can call Trevor at his office and he'll
Is it probably best to get someone to do it for you, or...
Well, it's if you want to specifically own like one company, then yeah, it's pretty easy to do, but it becomes pretty expensive to do at the same time.
Yeah.
So if you have like $5,000 and you go to CIBC and you open a self-directed account, mm-hmm. they're going to charge you, I don't know, $120 a year mm-hmm. to maintain your account because you're not big enough.
Yeah.
And then each time you trade, they're going to charge you $30.
That's right.
So then those fees start to add up rather quickly.
Yeah.
For you to have the novelty of owning, you know, two shares of Apple.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Now, we got a couple minutes left in the show. So why should people come and see you?
Well, because I do the things that the people at the bank don't care to do, and that's provide education. By giving people the education, they can make their own proper decisions. And they're part of the process, as opposed to just going in saying, here's $400 and I'll be back in 2 weeks with another $400, do your thing. It's really, you have to set up your goals. You know, financial planning is all about, it's an individual process that's determined by your goals. And really that's the reason why you should see me, because I help you achieve your goals. And you know, we're a team. I really make money by having you succeed. I don't make money by having you lose money.
I like that. So if we're on a team, like who's the captain of the, like, am I Michael Jordan, you're Scottie Pippen, or are you Michael Jordan, I'm Scottie Pippen?
Well, it's more like
who's leading this team to victory, you or me?
Well, I provide. I'm like the coach.
Are you the coach?
I'm the coach. You're the player.
You're Phil Jackson.
So I drop the plan and say, you know, here's a couple of good options for us. And I'll tell you the pros and I'll tell you the cons, because there's a pro and there's a con to doing everything.
Yeah.
And then it's up to you to decide which way you want to proceed. So it's like Tiger Woods has a swing coach. LeBron James has a basketball coach. So yeah. It's why don't people have financial planning? A lot of people want to do it themselves.
Because I can do it myself, man. I know what I'm doing with my money. I live fucking shift to shift, son. I got mad money all day.
Sure, and
people think that it costs a lot of money to have a financial planner.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
Why do you think James doesn't have a financial planner? Because he doesn't want to pay.
Okay, well, do you know
how much do I got to pay you?
Do you know what it costs? It costs you $0 to meet with me. It costs you. You'll never have to take out your checkbook and write a check. You never have to take out money out of your pocket ever when you're dealing with me.
So then how are you making money?
I get paid on commission. So that's going to be, oh no, commission. So they're going to try to sell me stuff that I don't need.
That's right.
Well, that's not the way that I'm sure a lot of people out there do that. That's not my approach. I would rather have 10 clients who want to work with me than screw over one. Or screw over 15, because then they're going to tell everyone not to deal with me.
Yeah.
And that'll be detrimental to my business long term. So you give people the best service and advice that you can. And, you know, not everyone will want to stick with it, but most people will, because they understand that, you know, over the long run, this is the right thing to do.
Damn, kid. Dropping knowledge.
No, seriously, I got to say, that's great. And I'm in all due honesty, I think I will... I'll take the leap and start investing.
It's not even that much. All you have to do is create a plan. And
no, that's the thing.
He walks you through. He holds your hand, man. He holds your hand.
The one thing I've learned is just taking that first step and just starting.
This is what you got to do, kid.
Just got to start.
Take that first step. Just like when you're a baby, you got off the ground. You're like, I'm going to do this, Ma. You looked at her with your eyes and that big old head of yours. You looked at her and said, I'm going to take that step.
Oh, my God.
Here comes the first step. Get the camera ready. Get the Polaroid ready. And there it was. Now you're off and running.
Soon enough, I'll be driving around in a Porsche and owning a beautiful loft.
Yep.
If that's your goals, then we can get there.
Yeah.
Porsche and a loft? My goals are to see the pyramids.
Yeah, and travel too, obviously, but...
Pyramids, man, that's all I want to do. Then I could pretty much kick the bucket and call it a nice life. I've seen it all. Done it.
Really?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
Going to go battle some sharks, fight off some kangaroos, do some kangaroo boxing. after I do that, you know, go down to this South America place, do some ayahuasca, get all fucked up. I don't know, fight the Taliban down there. And once I see the pyramids, I think that's pretty much it. There's really not much else going on.
All right. So I guess that's the last of it next year, all right?
Yeah,
going
pretty
to
much.
See the pyramids next year.
Yeah. Well, nice. Call it a life.
Nice knowing you.
Yeah. See ya. And I guess that's it for today. I guess if anybody else has any other questions, they know, how can they reach you, Trevor? Where do they find you?
Oh, they can send me an email, trevor.maynard@investorsgroup.com, or you can give me a call at my office, 416-491-7400, extension 688, and I even have a toll-free number.
Toll-free.
Toll-free.
Shit.
888-491-7415. Toll-free.
People can reach you. So everybody, get your game together. Get your money game up. Come on. It's not that difficult. You got to take the first step.
Yep.
You need a coach.
And if there's any questions that you may have that we didn't cover, feel free to reach out to Trevor. I'm sure he'll... like you said, wouldn't mind answering and maybe even stopping. What was it? Remember this thing you're talking about, like free taxes? What's this free taxes thing you're talking about?
Free taxes?
Yeah. Consultation, free taxes. Was this just a ploy?
That's what Trevor does.
No, it's, well, it's like I've when I was at Ryerson, I was a volunteer tax preparer.
Yeah.
So I would help students do their taxes. So
yeah.
Doing taxes is ridiculously easy. I've been doing my own since I was 15. So it's if you meet with me, I'll sit down and I'll go over what I do.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you leave me with your tax information. We'll come back. I'll meet with you a second time. I'll go over what my recommendations are and your taxes will be done. So it's
that
right off the bat. It's six saving you whatever H&R
Block. Saving
blocks
60 uses. Bucks from going to go to H&R Block.
That's amazing. Seriously, that is. That's good.
And you don't even have to pay them nothing. What's wrong with you guys? That's $60 savings. You know what you could do with 60 bucks?
Invest that.
Oh, I was going to say, you can go to a club. You can get like three of your boys. You get like three,
bottle
four
service.
You guys together. You guys all get Trevor to do your taxes. You save 60 bucks. You can go get a bottle for the night. Pretend like you're a star.
You can tell girls that you have an investor.
The more friends you have, the more people you can get to sign up, the more $60 you'll save. You can buy more bottles at the club, and the girls will be all over you. See how that comes out full circle.
All right.
So everybody, thank you, Trevor, for coming onto the show.
Yes,
and,
thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Dropping this knowledge on these kids out there. Hopefully some people have learned something and we've answered your questions. If you have any other questions, email them to Trevor. Don't email them to me because I clearly don't know anything. And you can call them. Go get your taxes done for free.
Yeah, I would
T4s are just out now, so get on it.
Yep.
And he'll do it for you. You have to have a consultation. It's super simple. All right, kids. That's the podcast.
That is it.
Follow us on Twitter. I got issues, two us's. And go like the Facebook page. I got issues Facebook page. Hit the like button on that. Don't like the comment that says go to the Facebook page.
Is that what people are
That's
doing?
That's what people are doing.
Oh my God.
I'm like, click the like button on the face on the I got issues Facebook page. They click like on the comment. These are the kind of people that we're dealing with, and I expect them to get their money game together. They can't even follow simple direction. Jeez.
Oh, man.
All right, everybody. We're off to Jamaica. Could be.
We should do a podcast in Jamaica.
We should.
I don't even know how that's going to work. Or
I know how to make it work. All right. We're going to test
maybe
it
even
right
do
now.
Like a, maybe if it's like a, even like a 20-minute podcast.
I'm going to test it out right now after we get off this internet.
All right.
So, Trevor, thanks again. Trevor.Maynard@investorsgroup.com. Call him at his office, 416. I don't know the rest of the numbers.
491-7400.
And or go see him on Facebook or so. Get in touch with him somehow, some way. Don't be so embarrassed about your money situation. Everybody's broke. Well, who cares?
Yeah, start saving. Seriously,
it'll help you get help you go from zero to a couple hundred bucks at least.
From zero to a hero.
Take your girlfriend out for Valentine's Day. You don't have to buy the hamburger. You can upgrade to the filet mignon because you can afford it. Come on, kids. All right, everybody. That's the end of the podcast. Don't get anyone pregnant.
Peace.